Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfamonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening to all listeners. This is Eben. Thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege to come your way. This is the second edition for the year. Last week I came to the studio for the first edition, and we thank God for this evening. Last week's edition had a little challenge. There was a recording issue, so that's why I've not been able to upload it. So pardon me for that. Okay, so last week I started and we were talking about how, you know, we start a year fasting and praying, and yet oftentimes we are not ready to change our ways, but we expect God to be moving on our behalf and all that. But if we don't, the year will end the same cycle of we pray, we fast, and we don't see the outcome, we don't see the outputs, because our lives are not in right direction with the Lord and all that. So last week, that's what I spoke about. This evening I'll first talk about the news, and then we will get into the Word of God briefly. God willing, this year we have quite a number of things we are going to discuss and be talking about. Then next month, in February, the dates, I have to confirm the dates, but I'm giving you a heads up. There's going to be the prayer, the day's prayer for our children at Oasis of Love. And last year it was very, very indeed a blessed time to be there. The parents who came were indeed blessed, praying for our children. And this year's, I believe, is going to be another one, another blessed time to come and pray for our children. Indeed, we need to pray for our children. The times we are in is something that really warrants that parents pray a lot more. I mean, just before I came to the studio, I was having a chat on phone with a prophet friend in Cape Coast, and he was telling me a dream that one of his children had, in which, you know, it's that worrying. I mean, it really calls for prayer. Parents really need to pray. I told him I'll let him talk about it. I mean, we'll be talking a bit more about the prayer for the children, so I'll let him talk about it one of the nights, and so that we see the importance of it. See, a lot of what is happening, we see the youth, the addictions and all that, it's not ordinary. There are forces behind them, and that's why we should not see it as just a social. Yes, in as much as it's a social issue, there is the spiritual dynamics behind that drives the social issues. So when you see them being addicted to something and all that, it's not just on the surface ordinary technology or social. No, there's a spirit backing behind, behind all these things. You know, today I saw one video my brother shared, and it's I don't know the right word to use to describe it, but you know, when we talk about the addiction issue that this generation is facing, is huge. I mean, the telephone, the phone, smartphones as we have it is the number one on the list. And to see that someone is so consumed with the attention of the phone that, I mean, something is happening around and it's like he just doesn't care, to the point where, I think this, you know, Spain, they have this, I mean, I've forgotten the right word, but boo, they release a boo on the streets and then people are running. I mean, seriously, I've never seen the sense in that thing, that spot. I mean, whatever they call it. I mean, but they do it where Zole boo will be running and chasing people on the streets and they are running, hiding and all that. This boo runs past a cave, just a building. But at the right corner, of the building, this young lady standing there holding a phone, fully concentrating on the phone. So the others are running. This bull falls and gets up, now turns towards this lady. But the lady is even not aware of what is happening around. So the bull kills. And I watch this and I tell myself, this is a very stupid death, because if not for this over-concentration of this phone that you are so engrossed in, you would have seen that something is happening around you. You can escape. You can run. But it's like they don't care. You see, this addiction is a real worry. And I believe it's one of the topics we'll be talking about it this year as well. And we need to start discussing these challenges so that parents, we wake up. Sad to say, there are even parents who are addicted to some of these devices themselves. So it's even something else. But, well, we see how God will help us. And we see how we can navigate it. But let me get through to the program, the news item. We have some things happening in the news. And I believe some of these things we... This year has been already a busy one. For the first 18 days, we are seeing so many things. And look at the California fire, for instance. It's something which you see the videos and it's so serious. I remember one statement that someone made that, You see all these things, beautiful, I mean, luxury apartments, luxury villas, beachfront villas and all, just raised to the ground, cars. I saw one picture yesterday. It's like you look at the car at the front of the house burning, and then you ask, you understand what the Bible says. I mean, all is vanity. And you know, today one of the celebrities said that after losing the home in Malibu, I mean, this luxury place is making him think well about his life, to really focus on what matters in life. You see, it's that's the reality. So you realize that life is not just about the things we have, as the Bible says, the things that we possess. No. And so the issue of we want all the things we want in life, you get it. But then if you get it and you lose your soul, what's the use? What shall it profit a man who gains the whole world and he loses his soul? So you look at some of these news items and it gives you a perspective of the essence of these things, and you realize that it's not just about material things. It's not just about material things. You learn something from it, and you just put your life in order, make sure that it's something that pleases God. And so it's something that we should understand, that it's not just the material things that we seek in this life, and we should be focused in the spiritual things first. Priorities, so important. Setting the right priorities is one of the things we are missing as Christians. Wrong priorities sometimes, and at the end of the year, we look back and it's like we blame God for disappointing us or not achieving whatever we wanted. But sometimes, if we are to do a proper assessment, you realize that the motive for some of the things we were praying for, the motive was wrong, and the priorities we set was overly self, just for ourselves. We just ran these things by God, just for God's approval, just to prove it, stamp it for us, give it one, this, that. But we don't really involve Him in the true state of our planning, our life. It's like He is guiding us, He is our provider, He is our protector. We just bring Him in as and when we think we need Him. You see, when we go by this mindset, it makes it very, we find it that let us try and trick God, as if we can trick God, and we try to please Him in a way just to get what we want, but it's not from a sincere heart. And you see, this is how we have to be careful, because I was telling a friend recently that if we are praying, we are fasting, praying and fasting, but we should be careful not to waste the time, because you can pray and pray amiss. You can fast and your fasting is not fruitful. And that is what some people have been doing this over the years, because they will look back and say that the year has ended and nothing really significant happened. They prayed and God didn't hear them and all that. And you see, so we really need to be careful this year. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to really be our guide, so that we just don't waste a year, another year going down the drain again. Thank God we are just 18 days into the year. It's just a short period that we can, if we've made mistakes or we've not really done what is right, we can correct ourselves and restart. You know, there's nothing wrong with restarting. So perhaps you've started the year on the wrong notes, but restart well, correct yourself and get back to the tracks and restart. And it's just 18 days. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong. 18 out of 365, as you are going a long distance, 18, you can just restart and things will be in line. So let's put our things, our thoughts, our plans, everything, let's bring God first. All right, so let's get into the news and we move on from there. Britain's, this is the headline, Britain's first atheist age, a nation in spiritual decline. It's very unfortunate. The United Kingdom stands at a pivotal juncture, witnessing a profound transformation in its religious landscape. Recent census data reveals that for the first time, less than half of the population in England and Wales identify as Christian, a decline from 59% in 2011 to 46% in 2021. Wow, that's a huge percentage. 59% in 2011 to 46% in 2021. 10-year gap, and you have this drop. Okay, currently those professing no religion have risen to 37%. Wow, that's more than one third. This shift signals the UK's transition into what many are calling the first atheist age. This term underscores a significant departure from the centuries of Christian influence, marking an era where secularism and atheism are becoming dominant forces shaping societal values and identity. The implications of this shift are profound, touching every aspect of British life, from public policy to personal morality. One of the most prominent factors contributing to this dramatic shift is the failure of parents to pass on their religious beliefs to their children. Underline, failure of parents to pass on their religious beliefs to their children. Studies have shown that children raised in non-religious houses or households are more likely to adopt secular worldviews. Even among families where parents identify as Christian, a lack of active participation in religious rituals and community life often results in the next generation drifting away from faith. This generational disconnect highlights a crucial challenge for the church, engaging young people in a meaningful and relevant way to ensure the continuation of religious heritage. Historically, Christianity has been the cornerstone of the British moral and ethical frameworks, influencing laws, education, and social norms. The Church of England, as the state church, has played a central role in national ceremonies and public life. However, the recent decline in religious affiliation suggests a decoupling of national identity from the Christian faith. Notably, over 80% of Brits do not consider being Christian as essential to being truly British, and 57% perceive religion as having a negative impact on the world. This secularization presents significant challenges. The erosion of a shared religious framework may lead to moral relativism, where societal consensus of ethical issues becomes fragmented. The rise of individualism and the decline of communal religious practices could weaken social cohesion and the sense of collective responsibility. Furthermore, the church's diminished influence may result in the loss of its moral voice in public discourse, potentially having a vacuum in ethical guidance. The impact of the church itself is multifaceted, facing declining attendance and internal challenges, including scandals and doctrinal disputes. The Church of England is at its crossroads. Recent controversies such as abuse scandals leading to high-profile resignations have further eroded public trust. Accordingly, internal schisms over issues like homosexuality threaten to fragment the church, undermining its unity and moral authority. And it goes on and on. It's very worrying, because you see, when the fabric of the society degenerates and is becoming more anti-God, that's what we see. I mean, UK, you follow the news, the stabbing, the knife, young teenagers, you know, gangs killing teens. And, you know, you ask yourself, so where are the parents? What upbringing did they have? And all that, you see, the society is really falling apart. And largely, you can say that the church is to blame. Because when the church fails, the society fails. Man loses wife and entire family for choosing Christ over Muhammad. So in South Sudan, the Muslim family of a young man in Sudan's Darfur region has disowned him and compelled his wife to divorce him because he converted to Christianity, an area source said. The convert in El Jinea, capital of West Darfur state, put his faith in Christ in January last year. A hardline Muslim identified only as Sheikh Anna discovered his faith and on August 23rd told him to return to Islam or face serious consequences, according to the source. The Christian, whose name is withheld for security purposes, did not fear for his life and continued growing in his faith, the source said. The Sheikh later incited family members and other area Muslims to attack him. A relative told him, "You are no longer a member of our family because you have changed your religion." And on October 9th, the Christian left his home, and according to the source that told Morning Star News, after he and other converts from Islam were accused of apostasy last year, they took refuge with friends in another location. One of the converts, who has also gone into hiding with him, told Morning Star News, "Remember us in your prayers because of these challenges we are facing." Indeed, we need to remember these persecuted Christians in these countries in our prayers. That's the least we can do. And this next report, the headline says, 1 in 8 Christians worldwide is persecuted for their faith. 1 in 8. That is significant. Wow. One in eight Christians around the world faces persecution, ranging from imprisonment to censorship to extrajudicial and government sanctions, martyrdom, according to a new report. Each year, an estimated 300 million Christians around the world are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are beaten, imprisoned, and even killed for their faith, said International Christian Concerns 2025 Global Persecution Index, released last Friday. Last week I read portions of it, but this is under like a report also highlighting another section of it, which also says that which documents instances of governments denying the rights to share of to a share of the world's estimated 2.38 billion Christians. In many countries, it is illegal for them to share the gospel. And then the latter part of the report says that, quotes, it says this very interesting statement: the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It goes on to say that despite the heavy hand of persecution, Christianity is the fastest growing religion in Asia and seems to be flourishing in a sense, even in areas where despotic rulers are working relentlessly to eliminate it. In the clerical Islamic theocracy of Iran, Christianity is growing at a rate that some estimates the Iranian church may be the fastest growing church in the world, noted ICC reports, hopefully. And then the last sentence is that the report seems to verify the close paraphrase of the early church writer Tertullian, an advocate of religious liberty, who wrote, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That's an interesting quote. All right, so we go to this next news item, where you have 1 million moms. It's a group of women. The name of the group is 1 million moms urges Christians to boycott upside down kingdom Bible. Upside down kingdom Bible, citing woke theology concerns. Conservative advocacy group 1 Million Mom has launched a campaign opposing Zondervan's newly released NIV Upside Down Kingdom Bible, Think Deeply, Love Widely, claiming the study Bible promotes woke theology and undermines the traditional biblical interpretations. The organization has urged Christians to avoid the publication and to sign a pledge boycotting Zondervan's products. Zondervan's newest NIV study Bible is unlike other Bibles in that it includes elements of theological and gender diversity. I mean, this gender thing, as soon as you hear it, you know that here is a red flag. As such, Christians should be aware this could be called a DEI Bible. DEI is an acronym for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, the group noted in a January post. One of Zondervan's newest publications is the Upside Down Kingdom Bible, Think Deeply, Love Widely, but it can be more accurately described as an upside down theology because it includes interpretations of scriptures from a woke mindset, with opinions based on the magnitude of cultural and sexual perspectives. The Upside Down Kingdom Bible, described as addressing topics such as race, ethnicity, creation care, abortion, gender, and sexuality, features study notes, essays, and book introductions contributed by various scholars and leaders, including Preston Sprinkle, general editor and president of Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender, CFSG, a Christian organization focused on issues of faith and LGBT plus inclusivity. On its website, CFSG describes its team as a growing collaboration of Christian leaders, pastors, scholars, and LGBT plus persons serving as advisors and contributors. Sprinkle, also the host of the Theology in the Raw podcast, has been vocal about the importance of fostering dialogue on theological and cultural issues, often engaging in individuals of different perspectives. In its statement opposing the Bible, 1 Million Mom warned the Zondervan Bible's contents deviates from the traditional Christian beliefs, stressing that scripture is extremely clear in Ezekiel 13:10-12 and Matthew 18:6 about the consequences of leading others astray. The campaign further alleged that Zondervan's decision to release the Bible was a deliberate move to align with contemporary cultural trends and accuse the publisher of selling wokeness under the guise of inclusivity and equity. In a statement to the Christian Post addressing the controversy, Zondervan defended the purpose and scholarly rigor of the Upside Down Kingdom Bible, emphasizing its commitment to evangelical Christian beliefs. The Upside Down Christian Kingdom Bible, is a new tool for engaging Christians who are seeking biblically based answers to today's tough questions, Zondervan said. As is standard with our study Bibles, contributions are from multiple biblical scholars with trusted credentials and expertise in their fields of study. All the contributors hold to the authority of the scripture, and the content has been fully reviewed to ensure that it's within the scope of evangelical beliefs, Christian beliefs. You know, the worry is, you know, as soon as you bring in people who are focused on gender, then you know that clearly, I mean, they are going to write things or say things that are contrary to scripture, because as soon as you bring the issue of gender, those who focus on gender, overly focus on gender, you know that you know where they align, LGBT positive, you know, this where they, so this Zondervan excuse and justifying, because once you write things that try to make it friendly to all, try to lighten the word of God, make it look like, oh, it's not what it seems that it says, or not what it means, you know, try to make it soft, then it's deception. We are deceiving the people. All right, so the next one, U.S. House, that's the, I mean, Senate, not the Senate, like this Congress, House passes bill that will ban biological males from competing in girls' school sports. At long last, common sense has come to bear. You know, it's, I mean, for those who listen to this program, I've lamented about this, because, I mean, you just ask yourself, the thing doesn't make sense, but it seems it's like people were not seeing it. They know what they are doing. You see a muscular guy who wants to get an easy pass, get scholarship to university from high school sports. So we say that I'm a girl, go and compete with the girls, of course you win gold and then you get scholarship, and then you, hey, oh no, this world. And you see, they do this, and when the girls complain or their parents complain, then they say they are transphobic, they are this, they are labeled, that's what they are. The girls who complain, some people were punished in their schools, all sorts of things. Some people lost their licenses as teachers for criticizing these things. Some sports coaches were sacked for opposing their teams playing with opposing schools with a trans player, and all these things have happened. But at least now the House has passed the bill, and two House Democrats crossed party lines to join the Republican lawmakers in supporting a controversial measure that seeks to restrict participation in girls' school sports teams. So this bill now was passed 218 votes in favor and 206 against. So these 206 people, I mean, how do they think? What's wrong with them? I mean, they are the ones who still don't see that there's something wrong with a muscular guy with hair on the chest running or competing in whichever sports against females. Oh, this world. You know, talk of the social media and the things that it makes people do sometimes these days is amazing. Woman poisons her own baby to grow social media following and solicit donations. no, you know, this generation is something. It's extremely strange. This generation is something else. So a 34-year-old woman from Australia has been charged with torture after police accused her of administering unauthorized medication to a one-year-old girl and posting videos of the child in immense distress and pain to solicit donations and increase her social media following. The woman was arrested on Thursday in Underwood, located in Eastern Australia. She faces several charges: 5 counts of administering poison with intent to harm, 3 counts of preparation to commit crimes with dangerous items, and 1 count each of torture, making child exploitation material, and fraud. But, you know, at least thankfully the child didn't die, and the police say the child is doing well. So she was able to raise an amount of $37,000 as at the time of the arrest. And you would ask yourself, why would someone do this? Social media likes, attention, following. You know, people are doing extreme things. You know, when I see some of the reports, I just marvel as to why people are doing these things. And you see, it goes beyond the why. There's a fundamental issue, you know. And you have seen cases of people who have died because they wanted to take pictures from extreme places just to put on their social media pages, or, you know, to get traffic and the trends and all. And in doing so, they died. And so you ask yourself, I mean, what shall it, you see, when the Bible talks of what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose. So this is one of such categorization, because I mean, what's really, because the social media likes that they are craving for is just the money, the fame that will come with it. So the money, yes, of course, the more their followers, the more their likes, the comments, the sharing of the video and all, they also get their money from the network. So, sorry, the whichever platform they are on. So money is the driving factor. And then the fame and the following, you know. So being famous, having the following, the likes. So people will do all things possible just to get these things. And some dying in trying to achieve these things. Okay, then the next, which is the last news item we have. UN chief warns, the United Nations chief warns that humanity has opened Pandora's box with out of control technology that risks upending our very existence. On Wednesday, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a grave warning regarding the myriad challenges facing humanity, characterizing them as Pandora's box of ills. Pandora's box of ills. He emphasized that the proliferation of uncontrolled technology poses significant risks to our existence. Secretary General Guterres articulated our actions, or in some cases inactions, have precipitated a contemporary Pandora's box of challenges. He identified 4 principal threats that could fundamentally disrupt various aspects of our global agenda, and in the most severe scenarios, jeopardize our existence: escalating conflicts, pervasive inequalities, and escalating climate crisis, and uncontrolled technological advancements. And this is where the focus is: uncontrolled technological advancements. In his address to the General Assembly, Guterres outlined his priorities for the upcoming year, highlighting the unprecedented crisis and polarization that the organization is currently confronting. And then, you know, the Security Council, the organization's principal decision-making body, is currently hindered by paralysis. It goes on to say, the ongoing conflict in Gaza has prompted Israel and its allies to challenge the UN's impartiality, whilst UN peacekeepers have found themselves caught in the crossfire in Lebanon and Syria and on and on. But let me focus on the technological advancement and out of control technological advancements, you know, largely referring to the AI. And, you know, it's something that is that serious, because this week the World Economic Forum released the work report, the job reports 2025, and projecting the next 5 years, the work environment in the world, the reports. And it's very, very worrying. I mean, you look at it, the number, the type of jobs, the number of companies that are businesses that are going to scale down, numbers, job losses, the type of professions that are going to die off in the next 5 years. Some professions which either you upgrade or you are out of jobs. And it should be a guide to parents to help to know the type of courses that they should allow their children to do, continuing education to tertiary, because to go and do some courses now, truth be told, it's just you are wasting money and wasting time, because the next few years is going to be completely irrelevant in the world we are headed, and that's the reality. But we'll be discussing these things on the Spirit FM, the morning show, not too long. We'll be discussing it. Fredia will be discussing it, as well as the Youth Connect. Fakwesi and Yantu will be discussing these things, as well as issues. It's something that we discussed it. We are going to really talk about it on these shows, the Issues of Life morning show, and then the Youth Connect, because we have to let people understand some of these things to guide and help people to make meaningful choices, you know, because especially the youth, as well as the parents as well, because the reports are not good. I mean, that's the fact. It's good for some courses and some professions. Yeah, I mean, it's positive. But some professions, clearly, it's just dying out. You see, so in helping your children to know what is right to do and what is a waste of time to do is some of the things we have to look at and discuss. So AI is coming really, really like a storm. But see, I always summarize it this way. AI is not coming for your job. AI is coming for the jobs of those who don't know AI. See, get it? Let me repeat it. AI is not coming for your job, but AI is coming for the jobs of those who don't know AI. So, in essence, in the times ahead, if you don't upgrade yourself in the professions you are in, it's just a matter of time. Competition will catch up, and you may be found wanting, you know. This evening I was having a chat with another friend. We were talking about this before I got to the studio, and you know, she was telling me about it's a big man, the person referring to a friend of hers who is in Accra, a big man in Accra, and the person is doing a PhD in a different field aside his actual expertise. And the person was telling her that he won't advise any young person to go and do this course in the university now, because AI is really going to transform that course, that profession, and going to do that course now in the university is just a waste of time. You know, this is the reality. But so my friend, we're discussing that sadly the universities are still running these courses and making money from it as if, I mean, this is the best thing to be doing. And you see, you look at some courses that the universities are running now, 2025, first schools and universities are reopening. I look at some of the courses and it's like, I mean, why must these courses still be running? But that's the world. I mean, it's just as they just run it as a money making scheme. Just but you know, the times we are in. If you read the other reports about the job markets, like what the World Economic Forum is talking about, you realize that the reports are saying A, and you are being given an impression that, oh, it is fine, then we create
a scenario where people enter into courses, go and do courses, and then they finish, and then they become burdens on the parents because they finish and there's no work to do, because those already in the work are being, laid off. The companies are downsizing those type of professions. So if you are now going in for a profession that is declining very fast according to these reports, then it's time to advise yourself. But we'll be talking about this on the morning show, and the Youth Connect, and then a bit on issues of life as well. All right, so the program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this song.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. little bit, you're going to stand before God and have your whole life judged.
Okay.
So, to help you prepare, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever depend on the death and resurrection of God's Son to atone for your sins?
No.
Okay, that leaves plan B. Now, listen carefully. You're going to be standing before an all-knowing, all-powerful, perfect God. In order to get into heaven, you needed to be morally perfect.
Okay.
So, was your life morally perfect?
Absolutely.
Really?
For the most part.
No most part. Either you were perfect or you were not. Now, were you perfect?
Well, as perfect as can be.
You're fudging. No fudging. Were you perfect?
Relatively speaking.
Stop that.
Okay, honestly speaking.
Yes.
When it came to perfection, well, I was kind of sort of in a way just about almost. I could have been better, but I could have been a lot worse.
This is not going to be pretty.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf? Ew, your meatloaf could gag a camel.
Excuse me?
Oh, wait. Can I erase those words?
No problem.
Meatloaf? Oh, okay. Do we have any ketchup?
Wouldn't it be great if we could erase all of the words we wish we hadn't said?
Jensen, I've reviewed your work on the Smith account.
Yes, sir. I've worked hard on that, sir.
Well, it stinks.
Sir?
Hold it. Let's try that again.
Okay, take two.
Good work, Jensen. One suggestion. Try making that report a little shorter.
Unfortunately, real life doesn't give us the opportunity to take back our words.
Nice party, boss.
Thanks, Jensen.
But there are sure some weird-looking people here, like that lady.
That's my wife.
Can we play that back?
Sorry, this is live.
Listen, Jensen, about that raise you wanted.
The Bible says reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How are your words affecting those around you?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Wow. You know, these, you know, short, powerful messages, you know, that really address the issues within a minute. That is very good. All right. So let me just read this message from Emmanuel. He says, Reverend, have you seen how our addiction to the phones have taken us to church worship, where people don't even concentrate on what happens at the church? You know, this addiction thing is serious. It's very, very serious. And I really hope and pray that pastors, church leaders will see it as serious as it is and begin to address this issue. Else, see, we it's like, let's liken it to like a disease, a destructive terminal disease like cancer. That is what the phones, technology, that's what uncontrolled technology, like what the UN Secretary General is saying, uncontrolled or out of control technology. And to the ordinary person, let's liken it to the phone, social media and all these things in the hands of the person. It's like a cancer that is eating up people's lives, their spiritual lives, moral lives, the social life, the family life. It's destroying homes. It's destroying lives. Very, you know, a little at a time. By the time people look back years down the line, they will see the harm that has been caused. Marriages are being indirectly destroyed. I mean, all sorts of things are happening with this addiction to phones, and it should be addressed. It has to be addressed, because, you know, it's better to address it, and those who are wise will heed to the caution and help themselves. Some need help, actually. Some really need, some have gotten to a point where they may need a clinical psychologist to be able to break the addiction. And that's how serious it is for some. But there are some who can control themselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So there are some who really should be able to control themselves, but the others who really need, they would need external help. That's where like a clinical psychologist and all that, to be able to break the addiction.
this is how damaging this addiction of technology phones is causing to this generation. And it's very unfortunate because it looks, I mean, on the surface, oh, it's normal. Oh, everybody's holding it. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, just a few minutes and all. But that's how addiction is. It's like you would want to justify why you are doing it. You want to try to create the I belong. I'm not the only one. You know, others are also doing it. Everybody's holding it. Everybody's looking at their phones. You know, this is how it is. And I believe, I mean, the listeners this evening, those who are listening and those who listen after what's recorded and all, would their minds will come to this issue that perhaps you may be addicted yourself, but you've not noticed it. Sometimes you may be addicted to something until someone draws your attention that, hey, this is an addiction, before you notice that, yeah, indeed it is. You see, oftentimes when we talk of addiction, our immediate attention is, the bad things, like the real bad stuff, you know, drugs, you know, we are looking at, you know, addiction to all the negative social vices. Those are the things that come to mind. But the addiction as it is, it's not just as the bad things we all know, the evil vices, no. It's now progressed beyond these things, you know. Last week, I was having a chat with one professor who's a reverend minister as well. And he was telling me how the Holy Spirit rebuked him over an addiction, which was just a drink, not alcohol. I mean, just a normal drink, which he's become so used to that even when it's 11 p.m., he will go and look for it to buy and drink, you know. Not alcoholic drink, just a normal beverage drink. Then the Holy Spirit drew his attention that it's now an addiction, so he has to break it. Then he saw that, no, indeed, yeah, there is a serious thing. You see, so sometimes you're under the control of something until your attention is drawn to that, hey, hold on, you're addicted to it. Then you realize that, no, something is not right. And it's indeed an issue. There are people who are struggling to, they can't even put their phone down for a few minutes. They have to pick it up again. Every few minutes, they have to pick it up again. It's like they should always be looking at something on the phone. They should be looking at something. And it's affecting people's performance in schools, in their jobs and all, and their Christian life, because people should be praying and the phone is distracting them. They should reading their Bible fully, concentrating, and the phone is distracting them. They'll tell you they read it on the phone, but reading it on the phone while the data is connected and you are getting all the alerts and the reminders and this and that, concentration, you get distracted again, and this comes, this message has come, yeah, okay, Charlie, yeah, let me read. See, we are being distracted. So, you see, we are just deceiving ourselves that we are doing something spiritual with the phone. But sometimes the distraction that comes with it alone makes it unfruitful. See, so indeed, the phone is a good device, no doubt about it. Technology is a good thing, no doubt about it. But it's like a two-edged sword now. There's a good side, which is the good we all know, you can use it to do good things, and the bad side. But looks like the bad side is now sharper than the good side. And that is what this caution is about. That let's pay attention to the addiction of these devices. Let's pay attention to it. How someone can say that I'm going to church, but I don't want to carry a Bible. I won't carry a Bible because it's on the phone. And it's not that the person has a Bible, but the person just doesn't want to carry the Bible because it's simpler to hold the phone. So Sunday, you see somebody going to church, and I mean, there's going with a Bible, a phone in hand. That's what you see. So you see the person in church whilst in church, still browsing social media, in the midst of all, I'm reading the Bible. But reading the Bible, but the person is, some years back, I was in the church somewhere, and I mean, there was I was so infuriated by this young lady sitting beside me, because you can, I mean, she's virtually just browsing Facebook. And it's like, is this what we call church? You've come to church and you are just browsing Facebook and looking at people's pictures and flipping and this. And No. See, we are just being deceived. We are just being deceived. And I believe we should be careful about some of these things. Let's renew our minds. Starting a new year, we need a renewed mind. We need a renewed mind. Mr. Kodia is asking, so please, what causes are likely to be affected? We'll be discussing them. We'll be discussing this on the morning show and on Youth Connect. And I'll delve into it a bit on issues too. And we talk about this. It's not just one cause, but see, we have to understand the whole concepts of the shifts in the work field, what is happening. I mean, let me just add this briefly. I have this friend in the US with the wife and the husband, and the husband is a doctor, but the husband told me that he's learning IT seriously now. I'm talking of specialists, you know, serious specialists, I mean, highly paid and all that. But he told me he's learning seriously with another colleague who is also a senior pharmacist, and they are seriously learning IT because they won't wait. Listen, I'm quoting him. They won't wait for the AI revolution to come and meet them before they decide to learn or before they are forced to learn. So they are already advancing themselves, fully prepared for whatever changes and advancements that will come. And it's one of the wise statements that he made, because that's how people should see this whole revolution. I see the AI thing as a revolution. You can't stop it. So the fastest and the wisest thing we have to do is to understand what it is and adjust and prepare for it so that we can survive the revolution. It's a revolution. Revolutions is like a tsunami that is coming. If you resist it, you are the one that you will be crushed. You can't stop a revolution. Largely, it's something that it has come. And suddenly, yes, we've been caught by the surprise of this change in technology, advancement, and it's going to even advance further. So what do we do? We should be prepared. We should be aware. We should be. So that's the reason why we'll be talking about these things too. At least the least we can do to help our listeners, the listeners on Spirit FM, educate them, understand the dynamics, the changes, and some of the courses and all that. I mean, Tekudia is asking about some of the courses. Yes, the report has it. Some aspect of banking is going to be obsolete in the next few years. And it's true. I mean, even in Ghana, you enter some banks. I entered the bank recently and it's like I was shocked. It's like you type everything on the task screen yourself. And so that means less human beings are going to be needed in some aspects of, and the report said it. I mean, banking was part of it. Some aspects of banking will be affected heavily. You see, so postal services, some aspects of, I mean, secretarial work, I mean, a whole lot of, they have their list. They have their list. So these are not the times to say that you want to go into these areas. If you are going into those areas, then you should really know why you are going there with a better understanding and better strategy, because if the technology is taking over fully in some areas, then one has to really be, you know, abreast of whatever changes. So God willing, we'll be discussing this on subsequent editions, as well as the morning show, as well with Fridia and then the Youth Connect, as I said, because we believe we would want to help our listeners to understand some of these things so that they can make better informed choices for their children, and people themselves making choices for themselves, upgrading themselves and learning and all the upgrades that needs to be done in their lives. Because so far as Christ has not come, you cannot just sit aloof and just watch the time going. We have to do something, and we shouldn't just be there idle. We should survive. We should be able to overcome. We should be wise, you know, and we shouldn't, the Christian, we should rather be wiser than those in the world. That's what Jesus talked about. We should be wise. So we believe these are all aspects of it that will help us to stay above the storms of life. All right, so this is Eben, the program Issues of Life. Thank you for listening this evening. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way as well. Okay, quite some messages coming up. Okay. All right. Greetings, Mrs. Amprey Chum. God bless you for listening. Okay, so good night and God bless you.
Hi, honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf? Ew, your meatloaf could gag a camel.
Excuse me?
Oh, wait. Can I erase those words?
No problem.
Meatloaf? Oh, okay. Do we have any ketchup?
Wouldn't it be great if we could erase all of the words we wish we hadn't said?
Jensen, I've reviewed your work on the Smith account.
Yes, sir. I've worked hard on that, sir.
Well, it stinks.
Sir?
Hold it. Let's try that again.
Okay, take two.
Good work, Jensen. One suggestion. Try making that report a little shorter.
Unfortunately, real life doesn't give us the opportunity to take back our words.
Nice party, boss.
Thanks, Jensen.
But there are sure some weird-looking people here, like that lady.
That's my wife.
Can we play that back?
Sorry, this is live.
Listen, Jensen, about that raise you wanted.
The Bible says reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How are your words affecting those around you?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.